It's a warm welcome to Nick Hudson. He's an actuary. He's also the coordinator of Panda. And Panda has been in the news for quite some time now because of the approach that it's taken towards modeling. Last month, it was around about a month ago, Nick, that we spoke. The podcast that we did then was our top listened to podcast. And I can tell you that takes some doing, given the number of podcasts we produce at BizNews nowadays, for the whole month, with literally tens of thousands of people downloading and listening to it. So there's a lot of interest in what you had to say then. But you also said at that stage that you believed that we were going to peak probably in that month. And when we look at what's happening in COVID-19 at the moment, it certainly doesn't look like a peak from all of the other data that we're getting in. But I know you're going to tell me the real story. So provide us with a little bit of an update, if you would.
We were surprised to see that it was such a well-viewed podcast. Just pity that it wasn't being listened to by the right people.
I think they listened, but they might not have heard.
They might not have heard. The peak has been hit in the Western Cape. You know, I said to you on that show, we would see a peak at the end of June, early July. And we are a bit gobsmacked here as to what's gone on in the last week. So if you just go back to that beginning of that month, these are the things that Panda's been saying. We said, guys, be careful. These lockdowns are going to be deadly. Okay. Now, you can't go lives versus money. There's no such thing. When you plunge people into poverty and turn the revenues off of businesses, that has a big impact. Lockdown itself will be deadly. That was the first thing we came out saying very loudly. The second thing we said was that the virus curves that people were projecting, these things that had deaths up to 351,000, peaks all the way out to November, didn't look like anything we were seeing in the rest of the world. The models that were being used by the NICD and all the national modeling teams were showing these peaks out many months ahead, Western Cape months ahead. And we said, that's wrong. You can see from what's going on elsewhere. So it was two big things. The amount of deaths being massively overestimated and the entire shape of the epidemic curve being misestimated. So last week, when the Western Cape clearly peaked, now it's very clear, we said, okay, maybe somebody will start listening. And we logged on to a podcast with the Western Cape modeling branch of the NICD and couldn't believe it, could not believe it. They showed a graph with this little peak happening and said, oh, what does this mean? And so on and so forth. There must be missing deaths. And they go to the mortality curve for, you know, the all causes mortality curve for the country. And they say, look, there's an increase in mortality. So here we are sitting all saying, well, that's not surprising. You know, there are things other than coronavirus that kill people. And this lockdown is one of them. So we're not surprised to see that. We're not surprised to see this peak. And yet the guys are saying, longer? How did they say it? No, what? No, we're still going to have lots of deaths in the Western Cape from coronavirus. The peak's just going to be longer, further, flatter. That was the term they used. And, oh, look, we can't possibly be counting all of the coronavirus deaths. I mean, it's astonishing.
How has the lockdown killed people?
I get asked this question by people, you know, poverty doesn't kill people, you know. Poverty doesn't kill people. In fact, I've got this study from the Great Depression that says that mortality actually went down in the Great Depression in the 1930s, you know. Never mind the missing wars and so on. Take an income away from yourself or from a friend, and I don't know if you have kids or whatever, put a family in a position where they can no longer afford to send their kids to school. They don't know where the income's going to come from. And for most of the people in our country, that kind of position is a very dangerous position. We haven't got big social safety nets, and poverty's not far away for a huge range of people in this country. And we have destroyed jobs by the million in this lockdown. So many, many people have been plunged into this position. You get the deaths of despair. You get malnutrition. These are the things that are very real and which will be faced. They lag. They won't. They're not things that we're going to show up in March when the lockdown is implemented. But these things are real and they will be seen. And the degree of institutional destruction and loss of jobs has only just begun to become evidenced. Companies held on as long as they could. Small businesses, proprietors, held on for as long as they could, of course. That's what people do. They struggle to survive. But they can't keep going forever. And they're still falling like flies. There is a wall of institutional destruction coming still, especially in the small businesses and your proprietors and entrepreneurs. That's coming.
But at a time when all we see are infections going up, and I'll actually put onto the screen now the latest data from part of the international coordination. There you can see that the latest death yesterday of 173 nationwide were the highest by far. Now we're sitting at, what, more than 3,000 deaths. And as this news goes through into, permeates into society, you get more and more concerns. There's this fantastic table or feature that the Financial Times of London offers, FT.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there you can see South Africa's deaths. I remember last time we spoke, you said, don't focus on infection. So I'm not. But even when you look at, you can see that this curve is going in the wrong direction. And when you get people fearful, they clearly would be staying at home more, perhaps not, even if you opened the economy 100%. It's unlikely that they would all want to go back to work as they did before March.
So two things about that, Charles. The first one, that number you showed, we need to just point out that that reflected 3 days' worth of deaths for Gauteng. They didn't report on Saturday and Sunday.
Seriously? They didn't?
Seriously.
Wow. Okay. Oh, but there, I suppose, if you have, you have a look down there. So there was zero deaths in Gauteng for the 2 days. So this graph is irrelevant, basically. Okay, got it.
Yes. Okay, so and you've always got to watch out for that. I was caught out once. I called a peak in one of the countries too early because I got caught out by the weekend effect. That's a pretty unusual one to have 0 days for 2 days. So there must have been something wrong with the systems, fair enough. Okay. And again, you know, it's just another example of how easy it is to make when people are jumpy and scared. You know, it's just so easy for an overreaction. Whoa, 173 deaths, everything's going out of control. But that chart that you're looking at right now is very important, and you are looking at exactly the right one. You're looking at the new deaths per day on a log basis. So we're testing whether there's an exponential process going on. And what that chart will tell a statistician is that there isn't an exponentiating process. As that curve flattens out, as you can see it doing, you're approaching a peak. And that's precisely what these models we've been saying since I went on the Modeling Symposium podcast on the 21st of May, that these things do not exponentiate for months and months and months like the modelers in South Africa are projecting. It simply doesn't happen anywhere. You can see in all those curves that it just takes there. You got it. You can probably call that exponentiating for a month and a bit. And then it starts flattening out. And the reasons for that, the model structures are wrong. They're assuming susceptibility numbers that are just way too big. And you also just have to think about where we've been taken here. We've been taken in South Africa to the level of approximately, I think it's 54 deaths per million at the moment. As we never tire of saying, every single death is a tragedy for somebody. But 54 per million is far from being an important cause of death in this country, far. And it contrasts with Belgium, the countries that we are being asked to compare ourselves to, which have around 850 deaths per million.
Given that the deaths are rising, are we not likely to get, well, certainly not Belgian, one hopes, but much higher than 50 deaths?
Yeah, definitely increased from 50, there's no question. But this is an important thing to understand. It's been lost in the noise with all the, let's just be blunt, with all the panic and the inability to confront problems rationally. What's been lost in the noise is the following, just very clear reality about this epidemic. In Western Europe and North America, this epidemic has featured, okay, with an average death per million of around 300. In South America, it's featured with an average death per million somewhat below that. In the rest of the world, there's been very little. Asia, it's negligible. You know what the story is in Australia and New Zealand? Negligible. Africa, negligible. Eastern Europe, negligible. Russia, negligible. There's been two completely different stories. I mean, not talking about that Western Europe and North America have peaked and nobody else has. There are more than 100 countries in the world that have peaked. So we get a very clear picture of what's going on. Brazil has peaked, for example. And there, you heard the exact same thing. We've been talking to colleagues in Brazil. And they say, we're facing the same problem. We've got these models who are telling us that we're going to have 1,500 deaths per million people. And guess what? They've peaked. They're in the decline now for a couple of weeks, and they're at 300. So it's the same story, you know, even though Brazil is probably amongst the developing nations in the world, one of the worst, probably in the top two or three, it's still at a third of the level of the worst in Western Europe.
If you then look at South Africa, everything that you've said to us now, Are you still extrapolating from the 3,200 odd deaths that we have in South Africa that we'll get to significantly higher than that? I think the official number we last saw was 40,000.
Yeah, it's a very worrying thing at that modeling symposium to watch five different teams all come up with a number within 10% of each other. I mean, so much for independence. We thought that was nonsense then. We said there's no good reason to expect more than 10,000 deaths. We still have that. We haven't changed our estimates, Alec. We've said the same thing for a long time. A peak that's much earlier than what they're projecting, and none of the second, third, fourth, fifth wave story. You know, it doesn't make sense in the context of you won't be able to detect it, a second wave in South Africa, if we come out at like 150 deaths per million or something like that, you know. No, I mean, we've said the same thing. Lockdown's going to be longer and harder and more deadly. The curves are wrong. Our mortality is not going to be as high. We're going to peak earlier, and we must watch out. This is not a business cycle. This is institutional destruction, and the longer it continues, the deeper it gets.
In the president's note that he sent out this morning, he did mention that this is a strong, supportive idea for a national health insurance service. So given the destruction, as you say, has gone on to the economy, there's a very firm undertone here of saying, well, we've had a pandemic, so now we need to prepare ourselves better next time. Let's bring in NHI. I'll find that email in a moment, but what's your thought on that?
I wasn't aware that he'd made that announcement, but clearly that intent has been lurking in the background. Look, first of all, I think it's wishful thinking. What one of the things that this crisis and the way it's been handled will do is it will incapacitate the state. And that's a state which was already operating with low levels both of financial and administrative capacity. So there's no question the state will be significantly incapacitated here. So it's just from that perspective alone, it's not plausible. The second thing is the only thing that will dig this country out of the hole that it's dug for itself, and that's what we've done, is to free up private business. Innovation and growth only ever happens if there's a free private sector that is unfettered by administration and bureaucracy. It's the only thing that works. And as we put the brakes on the private sector in this country over the last 20 years, growth has fallen. We've had zero per capita GDP growth for 10 years, Alec, something like that, more, 15 maybe. We're going to have to liberalize this economy if you want it to grow. We need capital to form again. We need a lot of capital formation to rebuild all the institutions that have been destroyed. And it's going to take years. It's not an overnight story.
I have highlighted the president's message from this morning, which he sends out every Monday from the president's desk. He says there that among the many cases being made for the national health insurance is that we will be able to mobilize the necessary resources to overcome the burden of these non-communicable diseases and improve the health outcomes of all our people, not just those who can afford to pay. Until we have overcome this pandemic, we have to play it safe.
It's a bit of a mix of concepts. I wonder if that's not a mistake. He's talking about non-communicable diseases.
Maybe I read it incorrectly. No. Among the many cases being made for the national health insurance is that we will be able to mobilize the necessary resources to overcome the burden of these non-communicable diseases. Yeah, that's what it says.
Diseases. Okay, I think it's probably just some speechwriter who was tired last night. Let's give them credit for that. I think he's trying to say that we need to overcome communicable diseases. And who can disagree with that? But I mean, the communicable diseases in South Africa, let's just put all this in context, okay? We're sitting on just shy of 3,000 coronavirus deaths. Maybe we get to 10. Every single year, HIV, how many? You know, that's tens of thousands. 68,000 is the number I'm reading with my information here. And I think that's probably about right on average. Cardiovascular disease, 40,000. In terms of communicable diseases, tuberculosis is a much bigger killer. We should focus on that. And what are we going to do about diarrhea? That's a much more significant killer. I'd say by the end of this year, you will probably be looking at diarrheal diseases having killed maybe three times as many people as coronavirus. And that happens every year. It will probably happen more and more. So there are a lot of social problems to focus on in this country. We're going about it the wrong way with lockdown, that's for sure.
Nick Hudson is with Panda, as we mentioned a little bit earlier. He's an actuary. He's been doing the numbers. He's sticking to his guns, despite the fact that many have criticized Panda and you personally, Nick. But the numbers that you are projecting are certainly not out of the ballpark at the moment. When do you think the death will peak in the country? Can you give us a thought on that?
Well, I'm very happy to say that it'll be closer to today than where the NICD is projecting, that's for sure. And so, we think quite soon. We'd be very surprised if we see this month go out without a national peak. I mean, the Western Cape peak is behind us. And just one thing to observe there is it very often happens that a national peak follows the peak in the first region quite closely. You saw that with the United States. If we're shown wrong, we change our minds. We will do that. Okay. If somebody brings somebody in my team information today that says, look, you're not considering X, Y, and Z, we'll change our minds. That's all we're asking these modeling teams to do. The one crucial thing that's been missed here, all their models forecast massive resurgence of deaths in countries that lift lockdown. We now have dozens of countries that have lifted lockdown without resurgences. When that happens, a scientist should say, okay, my hypothesis is wrong. I'm changing my model. I'm changing my mind. And there's no shame in that. The shame is in persisting with a model that's been proven to be wrong. And that's what all these guys are doing. And it's mind-boggling.